The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
That does it. That does it. Final sign that I'm getting older. I am being cautioned to slow down. Not by the cops. By my doctor. My black book. All the names have MD after them. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Delighted to have you as company. Program is a call-in program. The number for you to call in, 877-573-7825. Now, I know I say that pretty fast. 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question, a comment, particular, general, about life and people and situations and circumstances. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do. That's what I've been doing for a long, 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 long time. Back in the very earliest days of my shrink work, I did nothing but seeing clients through mental health centers and various other organizations. Now I split up my time a little bit between the radio, TV, speaking, writing, sipping coffee, taking naps, and clients. So you want to get on the air, talk to Andrew Krucek first, my producer man, 877-573-7825. One item of business. Good Lord permitting, on October 14th, which is a Saturday, Sacred Heart of Jesus Shrine in Buffalo. Going to get a chance to head out that way and do a little speaking in the morning and the afternoon. Should be on my website under speaking engagement schedule, or you call Mike. Mike's number is 716-683-2375. 716. Those of you in the Buffalo area know that's your area code. 683-2375. Well, another piece of evil, some might call it insanity, I'm not so sure, has happened. And, of course, the media has wall-to-wall coverage of it. Leaving aside the question of how could somebody do that, because most of us can't wrap our heads around that. What's the motive? What's the purpose? Obviously, the man intended to die. Why take a whole bunch of people with him? What was going on in his head? I can't know, but I will tell you from a psychologist's perspective, I would not be surprised if there was some type of organic deterioration going on, coupled with an overwhelming feeling of rage and anger, because our culture is a mad, angry culture. The media relentlessly tells you how you're being shortchanged, how you're being victimized, how people are out to get you. You are getting the shaft. That's kind of been the zeitgeist, the leitmotif of our culture, the mindset. Those of you listening probably are thinking, even if I can digest this as an adult, what about my kids? How do I help my kids digest this? First of all, my first suggestion, as much as possible, don't have that kind of tragic news. And it isn't just that horrific event. Is it any bunch? Hurricanes, tornadoes, murders, the ugliness of humanity and the ugliness of the earth being beamed into your living room. Watch it. When I say watch it, I don't mean literally watch it. I mean be cautious. Don't have it on. I know you might want to listen to it. And you think that little 8-year-old is paying no attention. She is just totally occupied in another room coloring or playing with the cat. She hears it. She hears bits and pieces of it. So the most powerful piece of advice I can give you, when you got kids, don't put the stuff on when they're anywhere around. And that means even if they're at grandma's house, don't put it on. Not at grandma's, at yours. Because they can hear it even from there. Okay, Dr. Ray, they go to school. They're going to hear it from the friends. What then, Dr. Ray? Everybody's talking about it. You can't shield them from it. True. True. But if you limit the exposure, you have less fallout to deal with. It doesn't last as long, or neither is it as intense. So, let us say that your child, and maybe older, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, frightened by this stuff. I saw a survey some years ago, dealt with it on this show. The top 10 fears of people. You know what was in that top 10? Bitten by a shark, struck by lightning, victim of a terrorist attack. In other words, the things that made that top 10 list are minuscule in the odds of it happening. Things like heart attack, car accident, high blood pressure, the kinds of things that really do affect many more people in numbers were not up at the top. It shows you the power of the media to create what we choose as fears. Little kids don't understand that when they see something on that news, as horrific as that was, it is still a one in several million shot that that's going to happen to you. So given that, essentially, it's about the same as being struck by lightning. But little kids don't understand that. Or 12-year-olds don't understand it. They see it. They hear it. They hear the grown-ups talking about it. They can't digest it. And they get shook. Why? Because it could happen to them. It could happen to mommy. It could happen to daddy. Pretty soon, all the stuff that they thought was safe, gone to the park, for some sensitive, vulnerable kids, becomes a threat. First thing you do, besides dramatically reducing the news media contact, is you tell them in uncertain terms, yes, there are some people can do very, very wrong things. Fortunately, that's still a very small number of people. And the chances of that happening to us are about the same as being struck by lightning. Now, of course, you run the risk a little kid's going to go, I don't want to be struck by lightning. However, most of the older kids will understand that they put this in the context of the likelihood. You know as well as I do, you and I, when we go out somewhere now at a crowd, even though the odds are so far removed any of this is going to happen, because it has happened and because it gets unbelievable media exposure, it makes it very real. They've done surveys of people who watch a lot of television. Do you know what they found? The people are much, much more likely to believe they will be a victim of a crime than in fact they would be. They are much more likely to think that bad things are going to happen to them. They are much more likely to see the world as a very ugly, threatening, awful place because they digest the unreality of not only TV shows, but the media. So, keeping that in mind, the good news is most kids, are much more resilient than we grown-ups. We are the ones who are more likely to get upset by this stuff and have it linger with us than they are. Fortunately, little kids have a short attention span. And if a fly goes by his face, he chases the fly. So, God wired that protective device into him. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL. I am Dr. Ray Guarendi. By the way, this particular monologue, we're gonna put it up on Facebook because we've just kind of decided it's topical. At least that's what they call it when you're supposed to do something like 4 minutes after an event has happened.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On our next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo discusses the decision to become a Christian and to live the moral life in the face of a culture that is constantly adversarial in questioning our commitment, God's fatherhood, and the freedom that He alone can provide. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 7, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Christ is the Answer, topics of Christian concern from the Catholic perspective.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
We had a party for Teresa on her last birthday, Teresa Tomeo, and she kept trying to blow out the candles, but the heat kept driving her back. Oh, yeah, and it kept setting off the sprinkler system.
Oh, yeah, I'm bracing myself. Bracing myself for the email. Dr. Ray, can't believe you talk about Teresa like that. I had a lady confront me after a talk, and she said, you know, I've heard about what you say about Teresa. First of all, Teresa's younger than I am. Okay, so let's get that straight. But secondly, she said, that is very disrespectful. I said, why? I love Teresa. She loves me. We have a lot of fun. That's what's called cross promotion. That's very disrespectful. You don't bring up age at all with a woman. Ever. You know me, I'm sensitive. I said, how long you been thinking like that? She said, pretty much all my life. I said, ooh, that's a long time. I didn't. I was tempted to. That's part of the problem with me. I've got a screening device here that needs to be a little more thick before something comes out of my mouth. Ken from Hudson, Ohio. Hudson's a beautiful little town up there. When Christmas time with the square and the lights, it's really, really pretty. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Well, nothing gaining on me.
Well, you know, you really struck a chord with me when you mentioned about this terrible tragedy in Vegas about how we have to insulate our children and grandchildren from these horrible events. I want to relate to you. I'm in my 70s. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I come from a very, very big ethnic family. I can recall in 1954, in our old beat-up Buick, I was about 6 or 7 years old, the radio was on, and all of a sudden my mother turned to my father and said, Joseph, turn the radio off. It was about the Sam Shepard murder trial. You know, I learned that later in life, and I thought, all of my childhood years, we were insulated from that terrible stuff. So it's really important.
You're right, and the comeback to that, Ken, is, of course you can do that, but the other kids are not. And
right.
They will hear it from other children. And my comeback to that comeback is, yes, but this is a kind of flawed reasoning that people use. Because you can't totally protect them, then you don't try to protect them 82%.
Right.
That's basically it. That's kind of the accusation of the homeschoolers. The homeschoolers get thrown at them. Well, you know, you can't protect them for everything out there. And that's right. And no homeschooler would ever tell you, I'm trying to wrap them in a cocoon. But what they would say is, I know, but I'm trying to protect where I can.
Well, you know, another thing I can tell you, Dr. Ray, is in my professional career, I'm retired since then, I would run across a very successful family, and we would talk, you know, about certain things. Inevitably, those families that had the least friction and the least problems, it was amazing. The parents, usually the mother, would say, and we turn the TV off, or better still, we don't have a TV at all, and we do book reports, we do visits and such like that to educational places. In fact, I had one mother tell me, she said, would you let the devil himself in your home for 8 to 10 hours a day? And I was kind of taken aback, and I said, well, no. She said, what are you doing having that TV on, you know, and especially alone in your children's room? And that really stuck with me.
There is something on the Internet, I saw it years ago, called The Stranger in Our Living Room. Google it. Basically, okay. Talks about that. It talks about my dad brought home a person, and he sat there in our living room, and he talked about all kinds of things, and we were fascinated by this guy. Every night he'd tell us stories, and he'd show us things, etc. So, yeah, it makes your point. I will say this too, Ken. It takes a lot more strength now to go against the tidal wave flow of the culture than it used to 50 years ago.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, being retired, I'm in a lot of church-related, volunteer groups. And, you know, as you do work in the volunteer group, someone will say, oh, did you see that program on at 2 o'clock yesterday? Did you see what so-and-so said on TV? And I say, no. And they say, why? I said, I don't have a TV. And they look at you like you're from Mars.
What shocks me, and I'll let you go after this, what shocks me is the number of folks in your age group and mine that get their information about life. And these are good, faithful, Catholic, Christian people who get their information about life from this TV sludge.
Right,
I can't
believe
who they follow and who they quote.
Dr. Ray, I'll leave you with this. Remember the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, under Kennedy? Remember, that man called it a vast wasteland, and that was back in the 60s.
That was back in the 60s when Beverly Hillbillies and Dick Van Dyke and Lucy were the shows, and
right.
Andy Griffith.
Right.
Hey, Ken, thanks for the call. Appreciate it,
thanks,
buddy.
Doc. Bye.
All right. Boys, a whole bunch of calls up there. Please, I ask your patience. Steve from Ann Arbor. We just, by the way, Steve, today our program, Living Right with Dr. Ray, was aired because we taped it in Ann Arbor. So some of our Ann Arbor tapings, I don't know if you were there or not, but they were up.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have. Yes, there, Steve. Okay.
Hi, how are you doing?
You had a situation in your area involving a stranger, and how do you tell children to be cautious of strangers without killing their childhood innocence and without squashing some of their natural enthusiasm to talk to people, right?
Correct. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I knew you were going to. I just kind of had to say it for you real quick. Plus, I have a teleprompter heard that they just wrote it up there. A couple of things. With little kids, I personally believe that for the most part, trying to teach little kids to discern who is threatening, who is inappropriate, is a tough thing to do because they don't have the judgment in some areas. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this because people are going to say, Dr. Ray, they need to know where they're allowed to be touched and where they're not. I understand that, and you can tell them that. But in terms of getting them figuring out who is and who isn't, I always tell the parents, that's why you're there. You're the supervisor.
Yeah.
If you're worried about your child not being able to discern, then for the most part, until you think they're somewhat able, you don't let them out of your sight in certain situations. You just don't. If you go to the park, they're always within your sight. Okay. Now, that said, the old advice used to be, if a kid is lost or if a kid is scared, or if a kid really has the senses go up that this person is making me nervous, people say, find a cop. Well, now, that's not only impractical, because cops are not everywhere, and they can't be. You know what you do? You go to the nearest woman.
Okay.
That's what you do. You tell a little child if you're lost and you don't know where mommy is, or if something happens that you're afraid of, you go to the nearest lady and you tell her. Because the odds of a woman being a threat to a child are so low, so very, very low, that is the thing to do.
And that's interesting you say that, because the stranger danger incident they had was a female tried to approach a little girl and opened up her van door and tried to get her to go in. And the thing is, where I live, it's very Caucasian, and working class, were farmers and whatnot. But, you know, this person that approached the little girl was not that demographic. And, of course, that added fuel to the fire of strangers and some of my neighbors, you know, we're talking, have talked about, they're very racially biased.
You tell a kid, Steve, don't go near a car. If someone stops and says, hey, can I ask you a question? Hey, I got something for you. Hey, will you tell me how? You stand way back. That has nothing to do with being friendly. Kids can be very, very friendly to people that they know and when their parents are around. But if they're out and a car drives by, don't go anywhere near that car.
Okay.
Good stuff, Steve. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, boy. There's a whole wide range of stuff up there. Jen called right at the top of the program, and I got a soft spot for people who call right at the top or sometimes even before the program goes on the air. But I realized, and Andrew pointed this out to me, I used to feel very flattered when people called before we went on the air, and he said, no, that's because they're calling the program before yours. And they didn't really want to talk to you, but they're on the air now, so they might as well hang around. At least that's what he said. Jen, is that true?
No, that's not true.
All right. All right.
All right. Oh.
You tell Andrew. He's wrong on that.
Oh.
You got an anxious 10-year-old, huh?
Yes, I do. He's
always been that way.
You are so wrong.
That's Andrew. Oh. He's playing with the buttons over there. This is the way your son is wired, correct?
You know, I think so. I don't know if it was certain circumstances that were a little scary for him in his younger years. I'm a mother of seven. He's number three. So I've had twins and did a lot of bed rest for children after him. And I know that was really scary for him, just thinking, you know, why does mom have to be limited to this and going to the doctor more and that type of thing. But
how old was he, Jen, then?
Let's see, with the twins, he would have been five.
Okay.
And then I did have a little girl a couple years ago, or not quite, so... No, I don't know. There's just been a lot of circumstances, but like when we sent him to kindergarten, it was carrying him to the vehicle for probably the first 2 weeks, saying you're going to be okay. We wouldn't put you in a circumstance where you're not.
And prior to age five, did you notice a bit of a skittishness in his temperament even prior to your bed rest?
Maybe a little. Yeah, it's I don't know. my memory's not that good. But
well, I know that you called the wrong show. You called the wrong show. When someone comes into my office, an adult, and they're anxious, one of the things that can help them over that anxiety is to slowly confront the situations that they're anxious in. However, with an adult, there is generally nobody to make them do that. With a kid, you've done it. You made him go to kindergarten. You have made him...
Over and over.
Yes.
I mean, it's like we'll put him in a situation to where, you know, maybe it's trying a new sport or trying something to where he realizes, hey, I did this. And it's like it just starts all over again when it's something new. It's
something new.
I don't know if it's something he'll outgrow. Or...
I've seen statistics that said kind of that kind of anxiousness, about 50-50 chance. Okay? I mean, okay. He just could be the kind of adult that doesn't like new things. He's just your boy.
Sure.
God's not going to keep him out of heaven because he's an anxious kid. I would say this. What you're doing is wonderful because you are ever so slowly exposing him to things that you think, as a mom, are good for him, and he'll experience some success with them. But what's happening is he isn't becoming confident quick enough. You know, the next new thing he gets shook up about. But the cumulative effect of what you're doing, Jen, is probably the best thing you can do. And I think you have to quit frustrating yourself and say, when is this going to be over? It may not be over. You may just always have a kid who doesn't like new things. However, you make it happen, like you did with kindergarten, and he finally accepts kindergarten and he realizes it's not a problem. That's the way to do it with little kids, by and large.
As married couples, it's important to spend time together alone for occasional date nights. But what if that date night could be something more than just dinner away from the hustle and bustle? What if it could actually help you reconnect, learn more about the true meaning of marriage, and last but certainly not least, grow closer to God and each other? Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection. Deacon Dom and I are hoping you'll join us as we attempt to answer those questions through the presentation of the beloved Marriage Enrichment Series produced by the Augustine Institute. It features segments and testimonies of real-life couples who discuss their own marriage journey along with expert Catholic teaching from popular Catholic leaders. It begins October 13th at 7 p.m. at the St. Isaac Jogues Parish Hall in St. Clair Shores. No cost to you. It's free. Light refreshments will be served and will also provide babysitting. To register, contact Lisa Ann Roth. That's L.A. Roth at StIsaacJogues.com. Again, Lisa Roth, L.A. Roth at StIsaacJogues.com. Or call the Parish Center, 586-778-5100. Engaged couples are welcome.
100 years ago, your mother, Mary, the Mother of God, delivered a message to three young children in Fatima, Portugal. But the message wasn't just for the children, it was for you. Come find out what your mother wants to tell you and how she hopes you will respond at the Fatima Conference at Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth, featuring Father John Ricardo, October 13th and 14th. Register now at olgcparish.net/Fatima. olgcparish.net/Fatima.
Beacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59, and in Dearborn, west of Telegraph. Beacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Beacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
No errors on air. Delighted to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini, being loved for my mind. Raising your IQ with just about every question. Just about. Again, we have a lot of folks want to talk, and I would definitely want to talk to everybody, so please do not take it personal. If we don't get to you, I'm going to do my very best, but that's tough. Betty from Cicero, New York, was yelled at, and she's such an egotist because she had the rash opinion to insult someone by saying that they were more important than a tree. Well, Betty, what kind of tree? See, that you got to get into that a little bit, you know? Betty? Oh, Andrew, what happened to Betty? Betty, get over here.
Hello?
You know what, Betty? I am wondering, since you've ignored me, am I more important than a tree? We lost Betty again.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh. Okay, so you can hear me now?
I can hear you. You mean you were trying to talk and we couldn't hear you?
I had that on speaker and I messed up something. Today, after Mass, I go to daily Mass. We have a nursery, beautiful nursery, lots of trees on the outside. I mean, it's massive. And I was picking up some produce, and at the counter, they have knickknacks, lots of areas of things you can buy. And I had a little note card talking about a tree. I picked it up and I said, oh, wasn't that nice? And as I got to reading it, I said, it kind of got a little more kind of, you know, Peter.
We're all just trees. We're all just trees.
Well, you know what I said? I said, wow, isn't that nice? And as I kept reading it, I said, well, I agree with it partly, but God did give us dominion over the earth to take care of it, but to also use it. And the one, there were two at the register helping each other, and the one woman, she totally went off on me. She called me egotistical, starts talking about the rainforest, and I said, well, we don't want to destroy it, but there's medicinal plants. I raised her voice, and to the point where, at that point, they had packed up my produce, and I was leaving, and she said, I'm all about truth, and I said, well, so am I, and I walked out really shaken, because she was so, it was such a shutdown. And
Come on, that isn't your first exposure with nonsense, is it?
Well, I have to tell you, we went a little further, Dr. Ray. I went back because I just felt like, you know what, I got to just say,
you had to set her straight.
I'll take it one-on-one. I came back maybe 15 minutes later. I was doing something, and I said, took her aside. I saw her, and she was all smiling. I thought, oh, good, good, you know. I'm
oh, good.
Talk.
Oh, it ain't going to be pretty. I'm telling you, it ain't going
to
be pretty.
No, it wasn't. I said to her quietly off to the side, I said, you know, you're more important than a tree. I said, you know, and she went totally off on it. She said, no, that's not true. I said, well, you know, there's photosynthesis. It's the give and take. You know, we need what they produce and they
Betty.
Well, can I tell you, Dr. Ray, she went on when I said I'm a third-order Franciscan. I love the environment.
Betty, what? You are so well-intentioned, sweetheart, but that's going to get thrown back in your face so fast.
Oh, yeah, she even said you must be a Trump supporter.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Here's what you do. You basically say, you know, you made me curious. Do you believe that people and trees are equal? So that if somebody chops down a tree, would that be the same as murdering your child? Just ask. You're going to be dumb. You're going to play dumb. I'm interested in knowing how you think. And then you ask her, well, if your puppy and your grandma were inside a burning building, which one would you say first? You see, because it's nice for her to talk this way on paper, but she doesn't live that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then you ask her, are you equal to a cockroach? Cockroach is an animal, which is a higher life form than a tree. So would that mean that you and a cockroach are equal, so that if a cockroach is in your house, you would not kill that cockroach? That's all. And you play sweet, you play dumb, but when you try to convince her that her way of looking at things, she's going to get defensive, she's going to attack. And she has her cliches. You are a religious nut, Betty. And whatever you say is based upon your crazy religion. There's no doubt in my mind she's an agnostic or an atheist.
Oh, yeah, she mentioned that. And then when I said, well, if you live in a house, you use wood from trees. And she said, it was just, I guess the reason I wanted to ask you this is I think we're going to encounter more of this. And, you know, it got so agitating. And there's a lot of elderly people that come here, you know, at that time of day, or at least it seems when I'm there. They're hearing her, and she's literally, loud. I would call it screaming, and it's very offensive. You're working with trees, but the humans are worthless. I said, you know, I finally said, listen, I think I have to speak to a manager, and I didn't want to take it that way. But the bottom line is, even if you don't see eye to eye on this issue, I'm still a human being. You're being very disrespectful. I shouldn't have to pay for something and have the customer berate me and call me egotistical. Was that wrong to do? So I did speak with a manager. What do you think?
Well, you wanted to, first of all, the manager's not going to do anything about it. They can't. Okay? That's just somebody coming in there and saying, yeah, I had an altercation, and let me tell you what she said. And I'm sure that if the manager would talk to her, she'd say, well, let me tell you how ridiculous she was. Okay? So that the manager kind of nods, because he gets all kinds of people complaining about other customers. You wanted to do that because you were shook. You were shook.
And I didn't want her to do it to others. I just think...
She will.
Yeah.
She will. Think about this, though, Betty. Think about this. Can you imagine how internally miserable she must be?
Yeah.
Can you imagine this? I mean, for her to get that agitated over somebody that has a notion that a human being might be
a little more valuable than a tree, which in all of human history, about 99.9999999999% of people would agree to that statement. And that she has to correct you. She is driven. There's no doubt in my mind that if you looked into this woman's life, you'd see a lot of stuff. So say a little prayer for her, Betty. Say a little prayer for her.
I'm going to have her on my prayer list. I have a lot of sympathy for her right now.
Yeah, I think you should. I truly think you should, because she obviously lives in some kind of state of agitation.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
You're welcome, sweetheart. And hey, Betty.
Yes.
I think you're more important than like those thorn bushes. I don't know if you're more important than a sequoia. I mean, your sequoia's been around for thousands of years. And they're really big and beautiful. Now, it's close, okay? It's close.
It is scary, Dr. Ray, how some in this world are really going for that mentality. The Peter Singer thought, you know, where you can kill a baby up to 2 years of life because it's affecting the grass and the trees. It's really scary. I mean, that's what I felt firsthand talking to her. I still feel nervous, like kind of shaky, thinking this is how some people seriously think.
Sweetheart, you must be... Sorry, I shouldn't say sweetheart. That's wrong. That's patriarchal. That's nasty. That's nonsense. I get letters for that. That's demeaning, Dr. Ray. At one time, it wasn't demeaning. At one time, it was nice. Okay? Betty, Miss Betty, Ms. Betty. You are fortunate in the sense that you don't come across that often. In the world I live in the world of intellectuals, in the world of university types, that's all over the place. I'm Dr. Ray. I think my break is more important than you are. Well, obviously it is, because I'm taking it. Otherwise, I'd just skip the break and talk to you.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah wrote these words to the Jewish people who had been forced into exile. They were no longer in their own country, no longer in the Promised Land. We too may feel like those exiles, like strangers in a strange land. So what advice did Jeremiah offer? It was simple. Plant gardens, build houses, get married, and have kids. In other words, thrive. He also told them to pray for the country in which they lived, for its welfare would be their own. When we feel like exiles, we should do the same. Thrive by living in joy, pray for the welfare of our country, and trust in God's plan for our future and hope. To learn more about biblical advice for our daily lives, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or cbsmich.org.
So when our journey is done, we all want to hear those words from our Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And when you are in the service industry, you want your customers to define you as being loyal and trustworthy. That's why we pride ourselves on servicing our clients. We are a local company working to keep your systems running right. Hi, I am Ron Garmer with Running Right Heating and Cooling. During these days that are heating up, we want to keep your homes and businesses cool. Whether you need to service your existing air conditioning unit or if you need a new one altogether, we specialize in both residential and commercial HVAC. You can trust that we will get your systems running right and keep them running right. Mention this Catholic radio ad and get a 10% discount. Call us today at 248-884-1704 or go on our website at www.rrhvac.biz. We're working to keep your systems running right.
You and I are going to link heads. I'm going to do my version of the Mr. Spock mind meld. You know, you can always tell. Like, I got an email just recently that was borderline as hostile as what Betty experienced there. And it was interesting because the email started out, Ray, as though I'm not going to acknowledge any kind of title for you. Ray. Right off the bat, I didn't have to read any further. I knew I was going to get verbally jumped all over. And I did. And I told my wife, I said, quit sending those emails. All right, where are we here? See, I got to get that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. We have an anonymous caller from Pennsylvania. The nephew is possibly going to be put into foster care. Are you there, caller? Oh, she's got it on speakerphone because she wasn't waiting. And the little child in the background wants to get on the radio.
Are you talking to me?
No, I was talking to the little one. I have the little one in the background.
No, I'm from Texas, so that's why. And that's not my question. So.
Oh, wait a minute. We went the wrong place. You guys put me in the wrong place. Okay,
but
wait a minute.
I'll still let you answer my question.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get this straight. Up here it says, considering putting a nephew into foster care. That is not you.
No.
Okay.
But I am calling about my nephews who are adopted.
Okay. Because yours is a tricky, tricky question.
Yeah, you can put me back on hold if you want.
That would be insulting, wouldn't it? You get on and I go, forget you. I don't want to go to you. You go. You just wait your turn. No, I wouldn't do that. That's patriarchal. Okay. Your sister-in-law, does that mean your brother, too, has four adopted kids?
No, it's my husband's sister.
Okay, I got you, You and your mom suspect...
Mother-in-law. It's her mom, my husband's mother, their mom.
Their moms and you suspect things are going on there that shouldn't be going on.
Well, they're 10 and 9 now, and they've been adopted for the past 6 years. She's noticed some bruises on their butts and things like that, but never ever said anything because she thought she would be responsible for not saying anything. And it doesn't help that she is a Child Protective Services lawyer and her husband is a cop. So she also doesn't think anyone would believe her. So now it's been a long time. My husband and I have never seen any of the physical abuse.
We see them
constantly yell at their children.
Who is the child protective lawyer? Your sister-in-law?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And so your sister-in-law's mother has seen bruises on the kids when they were younger or now?
When they were younger, when she still gave them baths.
Okay. So that was in the past.
Yes, and then this summer we all went on a family vacation. Mother-in-law freaked out on sister-in-law and brother-in-law saying that you don't love these children, give them back. They left that evening from family
that's
vacation.
That's not a good way to win friends and influence people.
No, but since then, I mean, my husband and I want to know what our role is because we did see a lot of verbal abuse and a lot of humiliation throughout the weekend. But from what we've talked to with other people, meaning like other lawyers, there's just not enough evidence to do anything. So I want to know what my husband, the brother of the sister, should do. I've told him that he should sit down and talk with her and just, you know, ask her if they want counseling or just something. But she doesn't answer his text messages, and I don't think that he's bothered her enough. So I said, I'm going to call you, and then you can
help. Oh, you want me to text her? You want me to text her?
I want you to tell my husband what he has to do.
Why doesn't she answer his texts?
She answers, but just says, you know, she'll be like, oh, well, I'm too busy to meet, or I can't do this or that. And so she just kind of avoids it. We haven't seen them since July. They have seen my mother-in-law and them again. They are babysitting the kids again. So
smells like they're going to be very cautious about writing you guys off.
Yes.
Well, that's the one thing you don't want. If
right.
They think
I don't want
that
him
you guys that
yeah.
you guys are on the lookout for them being inappropriate parents, they're going to just avoid you.
So, can he write her an email and say like,
what
you know,
would he say? I think you're thinking
that. No, that he's thinking of her, but I mean, have we done enough for these children? My main concern is the children. Have I done what I am socially responsible to do as a Christian for these children that could be stuck in this potentially violent household?
Well, first of all, you don't know that. Just because they are bad disciplinarians and they yell and scream a lot is no reason to turn them in to Children's Services.
Okay, if you had to do that, then you'd be turning in people all over the place. Okay, that's the first thing.
Yes.
The second thing is there's been no evidence of any kind of bruises at all, as far as you know, for a long time. My son Andrew had bruises all over his bottom when he was 5 years old. We did not send him to school because we did not want to be questioned on that, and he got those bruises because he bounced down the steps on his butt. He liked doing that. Okay? So I'm sure they would have an explanation for those bruises, and they have since stopped. So there's a problem. Your goal would be to have some kind of trusting relationship with them so that they don't feel that you're questioning their parenting, that you are so worried about these children that you may take legal action. Because if that legal action fails, which on the basis of what little you've told me, I can't say, but it probably would, you're done. You're done. Your brother won't see his sister for quite a while, my guess. Okay? So, given that, when you see the situation erupting, you ask a simple question. Something like, I don't know, do you like when they talk to you that way? Or you feel like you can't get them under control sometimes, like I feel I can't get my kids under control sometimes? I mean, you put yourself in the same basket. That's not as threatening. You hand them 9 copies of my book. Okay, that'll help. and you just essentially be there, recognizing that right now she wants no part of any advice. That's what it sounds like. And your husband's got to be real careful about this, because if she senses that you are on vigilance for her inappropriate motherhood, you'll see him less and less, if at all. So the fact that she's letting grandma babysit is she's not worried that there's going to be any evidence of abuse kind of thing, or the kids aren't going to say, yeah, my mom punches me in the face when she's mad at me. Okay, that's not going to happen. So that would be my suggestion on that. Just be careful, and you don't at this point, from what you're describing, you know, at this point really have any reason to go any further other than keeping up a relationship with them and talking with them about your own discipline frustrations. One other thing, this is just generic. Sometimes when people adopt older kids, they really underestimate what it will take to raise those children, to socialize and moralize and supervise and consistently have warm feelings toward those children. They underestimate it. And I hope your sister-in-law ultimately gets to that point where she realizes these are her kids, and no matter how frustrating they are, they're her kids. Thank you, dear. Appreciate the call. I gotta take a break. Way past break.
The National Director of Priests for Life, Father Frank Pavone, will speak at the Right to Life of Michigan Downriver Affiliate's annual Focus on Life Dinner, Thursday, October 12th at the Grecian Center in Southgate. Reserve a table for you and some friends. Order tickets for the Focus on Life Dinner at Eventbrite.com or call 313-318-9795 or see the Ave Maria Community Calendar for Thursday, October 12th. The Focus on Life Dinner with Father Frank Pavone.
St. Joseph Catholic Church in South Lyon welcomes you to Fatima Festival 100, honoring our Blessed Mother on the weekend of October 13th, 14th, and 15th. Featuring guest speakers Tim Staples, Thomas Smith, and Gary Mashuda. The event offers child care and crafting activities for children during speaker times and meals and snacks for a free will donation. 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration will be observed. Please visit FatimaFestival100.org for more details. That's FatimaFestival100.org.
It's the 4th Annual Oktoberfest at Sacred Heart Parish in Dearborn, October 13th through 15th. Inflatables for the kids, craft beers for the adults, awesome music, and plenty of chances to win prizes in our raffles and tournaments. With performances by Phoenix Theory on Friday and on Saturday with Barely On, Holly and the Johnnies, and the Mega 80s. We'll have great food all weekend long with a German chicken dinner on Sunday and music from German brass band Vesela Kepala. Sacred Heart Oktoberfest, October 13th through 15th at Sacred Heart Catholic School and Parish on Michigan Avenue and Military in downtown Dearborn.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. 6 different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Rigorendi, not going to be able to get to all the calls up there, which is often the case. Please, those of you who waited patiently, if you call back in the future, you will be first up. If you all call back at the same time, we flip a coin. We do rock, scissors, paper. And since you can't talk to me, I control the rock, scissors, and paper. Richard calling from Dayton, Ohio, 106.3 FM. He's upset. Richard, you got to keep your cool on this one. Don't you have air conditioning?
I put this guy about putting the air conditioner in, and they, you know, it's central air, so he messed up the heating system, too. So he messed them both up. He's not qualified. You know, I think $1,000 you can do, but it's going to cost me more than that to have somebody else come in and do it right, and I'm pretty angry about it. I'm going to get rid of this anger and put it behind me.
Richard, unless we get a better phone, I'm going to have you call back. You're cutting in and out so heavily. Is there any way we can get you on a better connection? Anything you can do there? Looks like you're somewhere where you're just cutting in and out. I'm sorry to have to do this to you, bud, but we're just picking up every other word, okay? Marie? Maria, El Dorado, Kansas. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Dr. A.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going through school right now, so I'm very tired, but I'm doing good.
You are going through nursing school?
Yes.
Do you have your car window down?
Sorry, no, actually, I'm outside. I'm going to get someplace where there's no wind.
Okay. I mean, if you're talking to me, there's going to be a lot of wind, but that's going to be on this end. Now, you have a same-sex... Yes, dear, you're perfect. You had a same-sex attracted coworker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How's that a problem for you?
Well, because I have to work with them every day. Like, I mean, whenever I'm working, I have to work with them. And so they opened up to me the other day and were telling me that they've been in a sexual relationship with another guy for, like, 4 years. And it confused me because they are always acting like they were really attracted to me. They're always staring at me, and I catch them looking at me, and they're always smiling at me. So I didn't know they were gay before this. And so they came out and told me, and I was really surprised about it, but I feel like I should say something more to them. Because
about what?
I don't know, because they said that they've been like that since they were little. Like, they're born that way. And I'm thinking, well, you know, is there something I could say to them? Like, I don't know, convince them not to be gay?
No. You can probably say, are you attracted to me? And if they say yes... And then you can say, well, you're not totally same-sex attracted then, are you? How do you explain
that?
You could say that. So how do you explain that? But in terms of saying, no, you're not, they'll look at you as if to say, how do you know? You didn't grow up with me. How do you know what I felt like when I was 8, 10, 12, 15? I think where you have some legitimacy to make your point, which is, if they're going to tell you in a way about their private life, you can simply say, hey guys, that is no concern of mine, that is your life, I don't need to hear it. You can do that.
Yeah.
Because the problem would be if they're going to say it's our duty to make Maria understand and get rid of her moral perspective. We're gonna show Maria that she's narrow. We're gonna show Maria that she doesn't understand. We're gonna show Maria, and we're gonna do it however we have to, whether we have to talk about how much we went out on a date last night and had a good time, whatever it is, you can simply shut that off. That has nothing to do. Well, go ahead, dear. Go ahead.
I feel like he said that, like he told me, because I found out in a roundabout way from another call. And he hadn't spread it around. Nobody else knows about it, apparently. And so when he found out that I knew, he was really angry at them for telling me. So then he felt like he had to apologize for not coming out and not being honest with me and stuff like that.
He doesn't have to tell you that. We live in a culture that says, I got to tell you all about my proclivities, all about my temptations, all about my attractions. What? You just look at him and you say, you don't have to tell me anything about any of that. You are far more a person than just your sexual attraction. There's a lot more to you I'd like to know about. Sure. Yeah, don't let him kind of put you in a corner that says, Maria, I'm going to tell you now so you can totally, completely accept everything I tell you, and we'll see if we can just make you broaden out your whole view of everything. At that point, you just simply say, no, this is none of my business. None of my business. This is your business. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. My business is to go. Thank you very much here. Appreciate the company. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Eric. Walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Australian evangelist Raymond D'Souza spoke to the ladies of Heart to Heart last June.
You may have heard that 400,000 Anglicans have requested reunification with Rome. They are members of the traditional Anglican Communion. 400,000. It was 1.5 years ago, and there are bishops and priests in that community. The Holy See, from what I understand, is going to prepare a kind of organize a prelature for those Anglicans. And I'm trying to help their reunification, because they don't want ecumenism, they want evangelism. They want to be Catholic.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. You may have seen him on EWTN. He's Brazilian by birth, Australian by choice, and Catholic by grace. He's Raymond D'Souza. On our program this week, we'll hear this dynamic speaker address moral relativism, the natural law, and the magisterium. His title, Good or Evil, Who Decides? Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 98.5 WDEO-FM and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, honoring Taylor Kelly from her loving husband, Patrick Kelly. Quote, your children are the only things you can bring to heaven with you. Would you like to send a salute to your parish priest? You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll free 1-877-